As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
And it's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge and Wendy ASDC is Wendy up here today. Marcus in the Bay, what's up, sir?
Yeah, man, we out here in the rain. You complaining about wind?
Yeah. You know y'all complaining about everything. I didn't say I was complaining about it. I just said it was windy.
I need that Cali sun back, man.
Supposed to be windy.
Got the atmospheric river up there.
You know what I'm saying? The voice you heard, I'm just going to say this. This is a sentence I never thought I would utter in my lifetime. Chuck D is on my podcast. God damn.
I'm usually fanning out on the other side of the screen, you know, checking you all out. So, man, especially you and your bro and everything. So I'm honored to be here.
Man, I appreciate it. Marcus, when Chuck started following me on Twitter, I was like, what? Chuck following me?
Like, yeah, what's it? I mean,
hey, Chuck, D ain't trying to act like he ain't a legend too, man.
No,
he's trying to act like, you know what I'm saying?
I know,
like,
right?
You David Aldridge, man.
You David Aldridge.
Out here. You're a Hall of Famer.
Dude, right? No, I appreciate the love. I sincerely do, coming from you, man, because you know, you're a hero of mine, man. And look, I want to plug your PBS special, Fight the Power, How Hip-Hop Changed the World. It's on PBS, four-part series. Check it out. It's on Amazon Prime if you don't want to do the PBS route. Man, dude, that had to be a labor of love, but labor.
Yeah, but I feel like a fraud, like Abia Doom of The Last Poet said, because the team that did so much work, research, Yemi and Danielle from the UK, part of the BBC squad. Yeah. And then, you know, my partner, Laurie Buller. I mean, they pulled out all the stops. I mean, she's from the Bronx. I'm from Long Island. So I can't claim no Bronx.
Right.
I can't even claim Harlem where my parents are from. But I was there, you know, in hip hop. I'm not in awe of hip hop being 50 years old because I got 12 years on hip hop. So I seen it as a little kid on a tricycle and making sure cats don't drive it into the ditch. So you always got to bring up the facts. So today, you know, I was surprised. Melly Mel is still trending.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. I saw you talking about that. Yeah.
I mean, because people could talk about like OGs are irrelevant or whatever, but OGs ain't saying that. So
yeah,
only young heads are saying that. And rightfully, maybe they should, because we get the same conversations that happen in sports and entertainment. They've been happening in sports for years, especially in boxing. Everybody's always trying to compare boxing. Well, you can't compare this boxer to that boxer, not in real time, because that boxer wasn't born yet.
Or
maybe he could have beat his ass when he was an infant. You know what I'm saying? So it gets stupid after a while.
Of course,
you know?
It
so,
does. Yes.
So Melly Mel, you know, Melly Mel is like, regardless whether you love him or hate him, he was hard on me in my beginnings.
Yeah.
And I came in 87. He already been out recording music for 8 years. I mean, he's the vet. It starts with him. He's the first dominant MC rapper, period. I mean, he's Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, there is no precedent. And his first 5 years as a recording artist it was like the second was like Mo D, and he's a far distant second. So the parallels, because I'm a sports head and because I'm a rap head since the beginning, I make these parallels. And the young head, if they don't understand what was back then, they can't get the analogies. But if you love hip hop, hip hop is always about parables and analogies. So if you got, you know, the key line in all this is like the great Melvin Van Peebles, when he actually did the movie Posse with his son, Mario Van Peebles, he says the classic line, you know, "I've been your age, you ain't never been mine." So, I mean, I was very clear back then. Right. I'm very clear who's doing whatever now. So this whole Melly Mel thing is just interesting and funny. But I was like saying that, that, you know, his whole dominant period. Yeah, he was hard on me. As a matter of fact, he was harder on me and KRS than any of the cats today. He's actually nice. I mean, he's coming. He came at us, I mean, hardcore. But that's that officer and the gentleman-ish. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It only makes...
I want your DOR.
Mayonnaise. I was mayonnaise like a mug, bro. And if you make this analogy today, you might have a young cat staring at you like, officer and a gentleman, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what the hell? So everybody got their stage and their era where they could relate, but I'm a historian. So when it came down to that four-part series on PBS, the team came up with that, but it fell in line and all the things I had said all these years as being a gatekeeper of the art and the culture. I'm not going to have a conversation in the boardrooms, executives, corporations, no. That was Laurie Bula. Excellent job. Brought the team together, and they just threw it to me in the post, bro. And I did my thing.
With the drop step and the up and under, for a bucket.
And all that, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's the team. I'm not going to have a conversation about the culture with a cat that don't get it. It's wasting my time. I'd rather sit at this desk and drink watermelon juice, bro, than do that. So it's all about putting together a team. So it was PBS, it's public television in the United States of America, but more importantly, it's BBC around the world. So that combination of PBS and BBC was the thing that made How Hip Hop Changed the World work. And that's the important, you know, word in hip hop. I mean, Fight the Power, How Hip Hop Changed the World. The important word is world. And and it's still going on. And because today is a different time, it's no longer, I got to hurry up and get home and check this out. You know, if I don't check it out, I miss it. I mean, it's everywhere. It's on your gadgets, your phones.
I got to be home for Friday night videos.
Yo, back there, if you missed it.
You missed it. Yeah.
And you felt heard up when everybody gave you the info or the intel after it. So we're in some times where I feel that technology is a tool rather than a toy, especially if you're older, and we can embrace these things and not let these things take over and rule us. And that's what the younger generation, they got that in front of them, and they got to figure out how they dance with it, you know? Because when you have artificial intelligence rising up like yeast, but also dumbassification and convenience and laziness, you got a societal problem that you got to pray to entangle.
Man, it's crazy. My kids would rather watch somebody play a video game than play the video game themselves. That's crazy to me. It's crazy.
It was one of the saving graces that I never got involved with video games because I understand the power. And I probably, you know, I'm thankful that it didn't exist when I was young because I would never left the house. I'm like, why?
Well, I had the little Mattel electronics thing. You remember that little?
That was our video game.
Yeah,
we didn't have a choice, man. I was at the early stage of video games, but my daddy was like, get outside. You got to go outside. Play. We was getting kicked out the house.
Yo. I mean, that's what engaged me into music being in my DNA. Because I wanted to go outside, but my mom said, you know, do the chores around the house. You know, my pops co-signed that.
Yeah.
And those, therefore, you know, the record player is just playing all day long, especially on the Saturday. You doing chores, so you getting Aretha, James Brown, Miles Davis, and you better not touch that record player.
We was Anita Baker, baby. Yeah. Anita Baker, Whitney. That was the cleanup music.
And this is where BED comes in play. Like, you better not touch that record player. And I was at a time where 45s are still playing. So, you know, the 45, you know, DA know this. In the 45, and my mom is doing something, and I'm doing it, and the same 45 be playing over and over. I'm like, yeah. But I bet not touch it.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
If you want to avoid Stevie Wonder superstition for the 500th time in a row, gotta do them chores and get your whatever out there.
Man,
what's cool about it though? So my daughter is like low key upset at you because she got to write a paper now. But we watching this thing, and she's a theater kid, and she did Chicago, so she knows Queen Latifah from Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah.
One of my favorite parts about all of it is like the proper podium for the women artists, right? And the real conversations that was happening. You should have seen her light up. But she's like, wait a second, Queen Latifah. Like, but you know, she's 15. I was like, oh yeah, put you up on game. Now you got to write a paper though. So she wasn't too happy. But she lit up when she saw Moni and them. Yeah, she lit up. It was nice.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like we had the topics. This is something that, you know, the long tail is that you can have something like this go into 10 episodes.
Sure, could be as long as you want it, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you got to look at, you know, people who are skilled and professionals and OG and GOATs in their territory, like, you know, regardless of the criticism that he receives, but to me, Kim Burns been a GOAT because he's designed his own technique of documentary that has crossed centuries. I, you know, you can see this stuff around me. I don't keep books and DVDs and for like wall. They're not wallpaper to me. Yeah. They are examined. They are digested and they are used as use into the future, not just being of the past. So I'm always finding parallels. So, you know, Ken Burns he's found ways to make documentaries in the days where, you know, today people listen with their eyes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't listen as well as past generations listened or read, although they read texts or things, but it's almost like the three-card Monte game they used to do at downtown Manhattan, man. It's like we're gonna make you keep your eyes on something that I will make disappear.
Yeah.
So they listen with their eyes, but their digital knowledge means that I could make it appear and disappear. Exactly. I could make you guess, like, did I read that yesterday? Mm-hmm. How come I can't find it no more? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Where a book is frozen in your time.
That's right.
It's frozen in your time. Which means that you try again. You reading, but can you comprehend it?
Yeah.
Digital timing might not give you enough time for comprehension. So they'll give you comprehension, which is really opinion. So the opinion is already laced in what you're looking at. And they'll guide you into that opinion. That's what made the last election so scary. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. No doubt.
Yo, man, listen. It wasn't one of those. That wasn't a blowout.
That's
it
what I'm saying. Like, right.
Damn, like it was OT.
Right.
You know, OT.
He won like with a couple of late free throws, you know.
Really, man. Right? Like the with a rigged audience, you know, like,
right?
Like, yo. And yo, run out by the arena, audience. Biden.
Right. Don't let it, that's right. That's right. No,
I don't
no.
I personally, I don't see how somebody is 81 gonna be the president of the United States.
Dude, this ageism ain't no joke, man. Them cats, they don't even pretend like they're not being ageist. You know what I'm saying? Like, get this old MFR out of here.
Man, they was calling them sleepy at 72.
You know?
Yo, man, I would be sleepy too.
Right?
Yo, man, I don't, you know, I've been to 116 countries, many of them because they wanted me to go there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I just think that governments in this day and time are so outdated that every single government on the planet needs to have a reboot. But then again, once upon a time, they came up with the idea of the United Nations.
Yeah.
Which is this building that's still there on the east side of mid-Manhattan.
Yep.
That they might as well turn into lofts and condos because what kind of jurisdiction is coming out of that building?
Yeah. Well, just look at climate change and how impossible it is to get the most minimum shit redone in a way that could help 3% of the planet. You know what I mean?
Agreed upon. Like,
right, you know what I mean? Like, there's still some basic shit that we can't get done.
And the reason why it's so important is because we have, as they say, until bionics really increase, that we have lesser time ahead of us than we have behind. But we're talking about your 15-year-old, my youngers, my grandchildren, child and children to come or whatever. We're talking about that world because one of my OG mentors, the great Harry Belafonte, just coincidentally turned 96 last week. He said, Paul Robeson said to him when he was like, oh, Paul, like, what do I do? And Paul just looked at him like, every generation got to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah. Really serious.
Because they be living in real time.
Sure.
They can borrow and get advice and all that. But really seriously, I have to be able to give the tools to, you know, next ones, then in line, children and younger people, give them tools and also be able to give them some idea to see through the hog and the fog and the haze of it all. And this is it's going to be a very, very tricky 7 years ahead to 2030.
No
tricky.
Doubt.
I didn't say hard.
Man.
Probably going to be hard, but it's going to be tricky. Like
it could go, in a lot of different directions if we're not careful. Most of them are bad.
bro, we can't even predict 2024. What does 2024 look for us as far as the United States of America making a decision on who's going to govern what?
Right. This is some, fundamental shit, too. It's not like it's crazy to me. Like this was just 2012. You had Barack Obama, who is a fairly liberal but somewhat centrist Democrat, with Mitt Romney, who's a pretty conservative but fairly centrist Republican. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're twins.
You know what I mean? Like, the country wasn't going to go off the rails if Mitt Romney was president. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't agree with a lot of the stuff he did, but we'd be all right. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, they were so similar. And as far and also they had the youthful blood in them, to be able to deal with the job of really, as we say, GAFing.
Yeah. You know, exactly.
I saw a post on my bro Ice-T's. He said, you know, the best way to alleviate any stress is not GAFing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So
that's Shaq's whole thing. I need GAF.
Exactly. And you see that those people ain't stressed out because they feel they have no accountability or responsibility to anything. Of course you could be loud. The world is your weed. The world is a joint. So, but when you have to look out for other people, look out for those that have not, be able to be concerned about your fellow man and woman and child and also everything that else has to live off this planet. It could be stressing because you give up.
No doubt. It's funny you mentioned one of the best answers I ever got was one time I asked Robert Horry. I said, Rob, you know, like, you're the king of the playoff shot. You're the king of the big shot.
Right.
How did you approach that? And he literally said, I ain't give a shit of the basket if it went in or not.
Bro, that's like a secret to life, though, right?
I ain't care.
Like, right. It's like you go on stage, right? You got to sort of like go on stage and say, "Yo, man, this is who I am. Let's go." You know, yes, you have to prepare. Yes, you have to practice. Yes, you have to rehearse. Yeah. Yes, you have to have your thing down. But you know, one of the beautiful analogies why this is cross cultural is like, the thing when in my mind, I'm, you know, if I'm hitting a stage prime time, I'm like, you know, like you always think about the Michael Jordan in practice thing.
Yeah.
Same thing applies. Tom Morello, A Rage Against the Machine, who was our comandante on Prophets of Rage, that dude, he's relentless in practice to the point like you're in practice and you're like, are you kidding me, bro? Yes, let's go. Another take. So by the time it's showtime, man, it's like, yo, man, it's nothing that's going to stop us. Yeah. But we also have the attitude like, okay, You know, we don't care what you think because we know it's going to be dope.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and like that's the a
best.
Good.
Yeah. That's just the best, right? Like, yo,
yeah.
I'm free. I'm liberated from your opinion.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. And, you know, and the thing in the whole thing about in performance, you got to smash the opposition. Matter of fact, you want people to not like you so you can win them over in that hour.
Right.
That's the challenge. It's like I want you to not like this, so I could beat your head over, beat you over the head with this performance, which made you came in with doubts and made you leave like, oh my god, it's almost like Michael Jackson.
Oh, so you always the road team is what you're saying.
Always the road team, man. Always, man. Coming in, and you know the sports analogies always befit me. If I had to say, you know, in my prime when I had to hit the stage, who did I think like? Alonzo Mourning.
Right?
It's like, you know, Alonzo Mourning, Charles Barkley, Charles Oakley, all the power players in the NBA. Yeah, like, love, go yeah. there and go there and Shaq, dunk on the crowd. Yeah, I ain't got no flow. It ain't no flow. I'm trying to bring the rap.
Just elbowing down. Listeners in the mouth.
I don't have anything that your wife or child might like at first. It's nothing. Hide them. Get them out of the way. It's coming.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, you always got to prepare yourself because you have to also set a difference between you and the next performer before and after. So the whole key is not being better or worse. It's just being different and sticking out and being the best at your difference.
Yeah.
You know, making sure you leave. Like, I don't know if I liked it, but damn, I remember it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, I pretty much a big fan of Big Shot Bob. Yeah. It's almost like, yo, man, got to take shots at the basket, man. You already prepared. Take shots at the basket.
Exactly. Man. Yep. I'll never understand that about dudes that are reluctant to shoot. I always say that shit might go in. Let it go.
You have the same thing in performance. You got the same thing in performance. And also people, you have what we call it legend lock. Where there's certain legends out there afraid to put anything out there because their standard is so high, but their shots at the basket is low. So they're going off of some legendary time before. And I'm like, well, you're an artist. You got to keep the legend lock. You can't get locked up into the box that somebody else gave you. That's a coffin. Keep making recordings. Keep going and hitting the stage with the same vigor. Yeah, and don't stop and stop worrying about people loving you. You already got your family and your friends. What are you worrying about somebody? You know, don't try to. The number one rule of social media, especially, is like, do not argue with strangers.
That's a great point. I need to learn that point.
Don't argue with strangers. Yeah, your first thing you heard from your people, your parents or uncles, whatever, don't talk to strangers. But social media allows us to have conversation with strangers, so we got to choose, you know, our conversation with strangers, because really you're mad at the theme. You're not really you don't know the person from a box of crayons, man, melted on a hot radiator. So you're just like, all right, you know, we're having a debate, but now it's getting personal. But you know, I'm gonna shave this personal thing, and I won't get mad at you because you are a stranger. Yo, but I know you. No, you know of me. You don't know me. But, you know, we could get to know each other maybe in this lifetime, but maybe not. So let's be cool right now and here.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Man, I gotta shift gears, even though I don't want to, but I do have to ask you about your Knicks. Your Knicks are on fire, bro. How do you feel about that? Like, what is your
scared? I'm scared because we got all these people now loading up the bandwagon. I mean, the bandwagon is heavy, man. We got like 3 flats, man. It's like, yo, like, stay away. I mean, I can't, you know, I stay with my people, you know, in the fan seats of a young guy that he started Knick Fan TV.
Yeah,
you know his name is CP.
CP, yeah,
man. Yeah. I'm the biggest fan of his, and I've been in like the Knick Fan TV mosh pit. So you know I'm an OG, so I don't call all the time, but I'm always putting my chats in and stuff like that. But I've really enjoyed watching his growth because CP, the franchise, and Knick Fan TV, they started in 2016. Mm-hmm. So they was actually doing their thing with 17 win seasons. And, yo, you know,
wasn't a lot of meat on that bone.
Yo, man. And you got to come on post game and, you know, and I'm taking a ride, you know, with them. A couple of years later, I joined before the pandemic and, you know, I'm taking a ride with them and a little bit bubbles up. There's people that were pissed off about trading Porzingis and what do we do? And, you know, we should tank. And me, and, you know, since I'm a sexagenarian now, that sounds kind of fly, right? You know,
sexagenarian.
Yeah, no, sexagenarian. Yeah. Because, you know, that's when you're in your 60s.
Yes.
That's what it is, right?
Yes.
You know, so you're on your way, Mr. Thompson, you know, but you know,
me I'm taking my time, baby. I'm slow walking this thing.
But you know, sexagenarians do not wait for teams to tank. We ain't got time like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We ain't got
right.
time for my team to tank. I don't know what that means. I think the NCAAs is finally getting back to stride where we could trust it. Post-pandemic. We couldn't really trust anything in the pandemic because ain't nobody going to school. You know, people ain't training together. You had empty arenas of different activities. So we as Knicks fans went through that period and like everybody else, and we're like, okay, where are we? Where are we at?
Yeah.
And Julius Randle and that trade for Porzingis and the draft pick that happened to turn out to be Emmanuel Quickly.
Yes, sir.
We've been riding with that for the last couple of years and back and forth. And when Julius Randle had that incredible year 2 years ago,
yeah,
we was happy. But, you know, then people would say, well, you know, empty arenas half the time. And then the first game, I mean, you know, we lost to the Hawks in that series and all that. So, and then it was the Julius Randle last year.
Yeah.
But I feel that, and this is, I'm trying to close it to a point and be quick. New Yorkers, man, we don't do well with bought superstars, man. A star in New York has to almost be like kind of crafted and created in a homegrown. Certain type of mold. Homegrown, but maybe molded enough where they got enough and they ain't coming in with a lot, which is Jalen Brunson.
That's Brunson, right.
And everybody was screaming, go get you know, Donovan Mitchell, who we all love as a local, you know, hero and all that. But how many people were watching that series with Dallas and Utah? Yo, so when we got Jalen Brunson, I was screaming. And then I was like, okay, now we're going to try to go get Donovan Mitchell too. It's like, it just doesn't work. It's the start of my go get Melo thing. It's the, we got Hayward. Now we got to get McAdoo thing. And I've seen this over a 50-year period. And my team won when I was 12. I'm 62 now. So I'm like saying, it's like quick tricks and superstars. It might have worked for Steinbrenner in baseball.
Yeah.
Which he found out in the 90s that, you know, seriously, maybe a combination of organics and stuff is how, and they turn out to be the best Yankee teams over the bought Yankee teams. Right. But that's baseball. Basketball, it ain't never worked.
No.
Us go get a superstar and we're going to win with a superstar. It usually came with somebody with an edge, a.k.a. Bernard King, comes back to the New York area with a little bit of the edge because he was there with the, as a net.
Yeah,
and just
yeah.
couldn't handle the intensity of being home and then being in the microwave city of New York. And he had to, like, get up out of there. Came back as a Knick with a vengeance. Nothing could stop him. Same thing with Julius Randle. Yeah, he went through that thing last year. And somebody must have told him, said, bro, you're almost there. Because to be a star in New York, you got to probably get another layer of skin. You can't, that layer of skin ain't going to come from a superstar from somewhere else because how you know if they're going to handle the mic? I still call Madison Square Garden Microwave Square Garden.
Yeah.
It's a microwave, man. Every second going to burn you if you ain't right in there. Living in New York is tough. You just can't live in New York. I mean, it's like on you all the time. So I felt when the Knicks got Jalen Brunson, I felt that. And who am I? I'm just a fan in the cheap seats. I felt that we had enough, and we had enough of that core of familiarity. That's what I got out of watching Boston last year, that Brad Stevens brought back some old heads that were familiar.
Yeah.
He brought back Horford. You know, he says, you know what? I'm going to win this with familiarity, with people who are used to playing with each other and looking at each other. While the NBA has got cats moving here, there, and everywhere, all over the place. Same thing with a band, David and Marcus. When does chemistry set in? With a band, you ain't got no chemistry as a band, man. I'm sorry, you ain't playing right. You might have the players with the chops, but they not seeing and hearing each other. And it's gonna take some reps before you, all right, dun, 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 dun. When, like when you hit the one, everybody's hitting the one. That you it's telepathic. I felt that with everything and free agency and players choosing teams and all that, they missing everybody being on the one. You got the top-notch talent, but they don't see and hear each other yet. And I just felt with the Knicks kind of staying put with a little addition, now can this dude handle the heat and also the hate and the intensity? Jalen Brunson with his dad, you know, Rick, and also Julius getting that extra thing. I think it was almost like addition by subtraction. It was almost like, okay, familiarity with a little bit of oomph. And now you got cats that's coming in and understand what their roles are. And trust me, I was tough on Tibbs as far as a fan because here's my thought process, and I'll end my Nick talk on this. I thought that the NBA having 15 players a team and the style of the ball that's played today, you got to have 12 players, man, because injuries with this type of style of play, it's either one or two ways to go. You got to at least have an expanded roster, or your conditioning got to be Pat Riley-like, like Pat Riley throwing up in vomit with vomit baskets or whatever. So because if you don't have the two, that means injuries are going to be everywhere. And that's why I thought that maybe the way to go on this type of NBA is that you got Taylor Jenkins type style of he using like 22 players, you know what I'm saying? Plus his one or two superstars, right? So maybe that's the way. And Tibbs was basically like, you know, dude, I tried that. Ain't going to work. I'm going to go back. I'm going to get my nine. be lucky and happy you ain't looking at a Pat Riley 7.
Right, right, right. Play and eight, trust seven. Where was six?
And I'm gonna run this. I'm gonna run this car. You know, like when you get a flat. Yo, Marcus, you in the Bay? You familiar with this? You get that flat, but you know you gotta get home. And yo, man, I'm gonna ride the rim for a minute till it spark. You know what I'm saying?
What? Let's go.
Tibbs is gonna ride this car with four flats, man. He's gonna ride the rims until it just spark up. I mean, he ain't going back. He ain't going back to the expanding the 10, 11. Yo, man, it's done. So he going to drive this the way it is. And so, therefore, that won me on Tibbs because he just played OG hardhead. Like, yo, I don't care what anybody think. This is my style. And I'm going to run it into a ground because if I don't exceed, I ain't going to – there's no way. I don't even know how to work with 12 players. I don't know how to do that. I know how to work this way, and if I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get fired. It was back to the Robert Horry, like, I don't give a damn type of thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And ever since that, you get a dog like, I mean, I call him the atomic dog. Every time I see him play, I'm like, and before I used to always watch Josh Hart on the Lakers, and then he was on the Pelicans. He was that extra player, whatever, yeah. Portland. But coming with that mentality, seeing his homeboy, Brunson, and coming to the Knicks, Josh Hart turned and he looking at his stage and age like, dude, I could have a whole city love me for doing what I do in a different way. Love me for this. Yo, yeah. I call Josh Hart atomic dog. Every time I see him play, I see bow wow wow yippee oh yippee yay bow wow wow yo yippee yay. I hear every time I see him come on the court, I said that should be his theme. Atomic dog, right. He's the atomic dog, and he understands. Like, yo, he's in the. I don't think he's ever realized that he's in the perfect place for him to what he want to be. Right. He ain't gotta end up double digits. He ain't gotta start, even though that would be cool if when RJ gets his thing together. But Josh Hart, the king. You want to talk about opportune time and locking into the chemistry? I remember. Yeah. And my last note on this, seriously, I remember as a kid, first liking the Knicks at the knee of my father. And I used to like how Howard Komar's name sounded. Komar's with the, yeah, here, Marv Albert.
It Marv or Jim Carvelis you were listening to?
No, it was Marv. Marv did the radio games back then, too. So I'm Komar's, and then we had Walt Bellamy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to say, oh, yeah, Bellamy, you know, Bells, you know, and Komar's. I just like, you know, I'm 8 years old, so I ain't an infant, but it's when I first started liking it. And then we traded Howard Komar's and Walt Bellamy, future Hall of Famer, for Dave the Butcher.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we got a butcher. Why do we have a butcher? Dave the Butcher. Why is his name the Butcher? and I used to call Willis Reed Rebound Reed because that's all it. Rebound Reed.
Right.
But I remember when we got Dave the Butcher and the Knicks just could not be beat until we faced this team called the Celtics and they made me cry because I was like, we're supposed to beat them, Daddy, because they're old. Nah. Bill Russell wasn't having it.
No, he wasn't having that.
But the next year, so I felt the same way. And I was trying to tell the cats on Knicks Fan TV, it's hard for me to explain because I'm talking 55 years ago.
Right.
And that's
just
half a century, right? But I felt when Knicks got Josh Hart, I felt kind of, it's like feels the same way.
Okay.
And I can't, like, that one piece that, like,
makes everything work, puts everybody in their right spot. That is the key to basketball is everybody playing in their right spot, starter position, minutes, what they can handle
and complement each other. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
Chuck, I didn't know Jalen had this level in him. I didn't know. Like, I mean that you talk about dogs.
You saw the playoffs, Marcus. Did you see the playoffs?
Yeah, I did. But
you're a Warrior fan.
I grew up a Warrior fan. Yep, yep, yep.
Wait. You grew up a Warrior fan. What happened?
Well, you gotta abandon
When you cover them,
you can't be a fan no more.
It don't work the same. It don't hit the same. You know, it's
okay.
Like.
All right. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah.
I'm more of a Chris Mullin, Tim Hardaway. You know,
Run DMC.
Yeah. I didn't know he could. Like, you know, the last time we saw the Knicks, like, looking serious, you know, Trae Young come in the building, he's Mr. Villain, and they ain't really have nobody to go at him like that, like, to go bucket for bucket with him.
They should have kept Elfrid Payton, but Elfrid Payton could not, I mean, the New York fans melted him right out of the line. It was hard, man.
That's that microwave.
And his moms was up there, like, don't talk about my boy. He just got jettisoned into another galaxy. And then now we're going to depend on our OG who comes off the bench, who's like killing us at leading the second unit. Now we're going to depend on Derrick Rose being our main dude along Randle. It was a disaster, man. It just could not.
Jalen can do that, right? You think Jalen could be like, all right, let's go.
When I saw him last year against Utah, I was like, this is beyond Luka. And I'll tell you another thing. I ain't seen footwork by somebody that small in the post as Adrian Dantley. Because I never could understand how Adrian Dantley did it. DA.
Yeah.
Adrian Dantley. How?
They called him teacher
Such
for a reason,
underrated
man.
Underrated scorer,
they called
man.
Him teacher, man.
Yo, the dude, Adrian Dantley's 6'4", man.
Yeah.
Where he getting the ball and you can't stop him, and nobody ever could stop him.
No.
I'm like, how could that happen?
No, because he had the footwork was impeccable, and AD was much stronger than people realize. AD was a strong cat, man. So if he got you on his hip, that's it. It's a wrap, man. Well, you know what I'm saying?
That's Jalen Brunson. I've seen Jalen Brunson get the ball in the post at 6'2".
Yeah. Yeah.
And just shivvy the hell out of, you know, cat 6'9", 6'10". Yeah. And you're like, yo, man, how does he end up with, like, up and under at 6'2", out of three dudes at the basket? I'm like, that's some other stuff.
You can tell a dude when dude always winds up square. No matter how he starts to move, he's squared up to the basket when he lets the ball go. That's Jalen. That's AD.
Today, when I'm making the AD references, Cats is like staring at me, you know, like,
I'm not.
It was like, right. That's the only, you know, of course, somebody might say, well, the footwork or Kevin McHale, but Kevin McHale is like a crane,
right?
You know,
seven, two, six, ten, exactly.
But the footwork of Adrian Dantley, and every year, like, clipping 30.
Yeah.
I'm like, how?
I was actually thinking of the dude who replaced Dantley. I get Mark Aguirre vibes.
Especially
that mid-range pull-up, because Jalen will go 100 miles an hour, stop on a dime, and that thing is money, man. Yeah, it is nonstop.
But Dantley was uncanny, because I don't remember anything of Dantley hitting outside 15 feet.
No. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That wasn't his kitchen. You know what I'm saying? Like, AD was not, the reason why people don't remember was because he wasn't flashy. He just come in and give you 28 and go home. You know, like, one highlight. There'd be zero highlights.
Big salute to Adrian Dantley, man.
You know what I mean?
Every time I see Jalen Brunson, I think of Adrian Dantley down low. Now, of course, he's a guard. He got all these other attributes going for him, too. But when he gets that ball down low, it's like, I'm like, what is that? Sorcery.
Yeah. No, that's just, dude, he learned. We both went to DeMatha. He was about 10 years ahead of me. But, you know, dude is a legend, man. I mean, like, he learned Morgan Wooten fundamentals, all that coming out. And then, you know, he never changed. He played the exact same way in high school that he played in the pros for 12 years. It's the same guy. It's the same guy. Just killing people on the block. Just, oh my God. I could talk about AD for a while, man. That's one of my guys. And still, he's still here in DC, man. I see him every once in a while at games.
Tell him I say hello.
I sure will. Dude, Chuck, we could go another 57 minutes and 3 seconds, but I know you got stuff to do, man.
Maybe we should do this on a regular basis, because I got
anytime,
I'm always spilling, you know. what I because I spill it from the fan seats only. I don't try to impose what I think over anything. But I have great reminiscence of great times following sports because I wanted to become a sports announcer, broadcaster. Yeah. As mentioned earlier, I grew up on Marv Albert, and wanting to become a sports announcer led me into rap because it was the same type of, you know,
telling the story. The
cadence and flow. Yeah,
cadence and flow, especially Marv Albert on Ranger games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in basketball, it's stop and go, you know, pull up, pass out the Earl, you know, turn around, pop, you know, boom, boom, boom. So you got rhythm.
Yeah.
But Ranger, I mean, hockey.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
Marv Albert back in the day as a young guy doing hockey games on radio, because you got to kind of fill the spaces.
Yeah.
Nothing like it, man. And nobody ever really talks about that because, you know, Marv got so many different legendary things rolling out of him. But Marv Albert, hockey games in the early 70s on radio, influential.
That's,
yeah, I had no idea.
That is
at all.
I mean, in a weird way, since we brothers, we kind of like it was, you know, that was close to being an auctioneer. And because black men were and black people were auctioned. When people say auction, people are like, oh, Sotheby's. And I'd be like,
no,
buddy, that's not the auction I'm seeing. I can't even watch the combine because of that.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A little close to home.
I'm going to walk away from this combine for a minute. Give me a lunch to come on back.
I'm just glad they put shirts on. Remember they do with no shirts? I'll be like, oh, y'all out of pocket now, man. Run this 40 real quick.
You funny, Marcus, but you right, man. That's facts, bro. Man. That's facts. Damn.
Yeah. I hear you, man. Chuck, man, appreciate you so much. I really do. This has been a delight, man. Anytime you want to come back on, man, shoot. You
get your hopes all the way up, too. This is the year.
Get
them all the way up. Man, let's go.
Look.
I'm enjoying the moment, man. Listen, it's game by game with me. I told everybody when we got Brunson, and I go back and forth with young heads all the time. So there's always, like, young heads disappointed. And we're like, man, Nick's gone to 38-44. I'm like, all year I've been 48-34 with this one young cat named KG so we go back and forth on the chat, on the Knicks fan TV chat. And all year, you do the ups and downs, 38-44, we trash. And I'm like, no, we 48-34. But it looks like I might be wrong.
Yeah.
Because, you
low
know,
side.
Because KG is out of it.
Yeah.
You know, once we, you know, 2 days ago, I was looking at that. KG is like almost like this, right?
Yeah.
And then we got 38, then 39 and 40. So I'm sidewinded at him, right? But now I'm looking like, whoa, I might be wrong.
Yeah, dude, it's all about
who gets
hot and who stays healthy this time. That's it.
My last note, only thing I hope, I'm enjoying every game in the process. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
My last hope that I think what the Knicks should do, be themselves. You're not going to get rid of the jitters. If we can win game ones, we're going to be good. Game ones are everything us right now.
That's right.
We have no know-how. We don't. It's like the unknown, man. So if we win game ones, we're going to be all right. If we don't win game ones, it's going to be tough.
The microwave turned up a bit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Yo, we win game one of the first series.
Yeah.
It's on.
Jeff Van Gundy used to say this all the time, and he was right. He used to say, you cannot give away any game in a playoff series.
No game.
Not one game. You know?
And Boston and Philly and what's the other team? Boston,
Milwaukee.
Philly, even Milwaukee, and even Miami.
Yeah,
they all playoff experience. So they kind of looking at us like, all this jumping up and down for the Knicks. Game ones this year in the playoffs is everything.
Yeah.
We don't win game ones. I think it's just going to be it's tough in New York, man, to try to come back on game twos.
Yeah.
Whether it's home or away.
Right. I know exactly what you're saying. Yes.
It's worse if we lose a game one, you know, at home. So yeah. It's almost like if we ever be on the road on game one, it won't be bad, but we got to get that game one, man.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter who we play, it could be like the team that comes from the play in.
No question. Because they'll be hot, ones, man. You know, they'll be coming off a win, you know, so, and they'll have nothing to lose.
And D.A., you know, a lot of NBA history has been altered by the rules of the day. Back in the day, I'm pulling for the Knicks and we play in the Bulls, but it's a 1-3. It's a,
yeah.
two of three.
It's a miniseries.
Yo, man, it's like, how are we going to do? We got a 50-win team. Why are we playing the best 2 out of 3?
Right.
And we lost to the Bulls. David Greenwood's Bulls, man.
Right.
That's just bullshit, man.
Man.
We like won 50 games.
I know, right?
Didn't the Bullets do that? C-Webb and them?
It was best of five.
Which is still like, oh, man.
Yeah, but if you lose, like you said, if you lose one of the first two, you got no shot.
Right there.
No shot.
But, I don't root for teams, but I root for cities. So I am rooting for... Marcus, there's nothing like playoff basketball in the
Listen,
Garden.
One of my early memories when I interned at Newsday, in 1998, and my job, this was back when it was film, was to run the film from the back to the photographers. I just kept having to run it back and
right?
forth.
Oh, wow.
It was Madison Square Garden, Spreewell, like, and all that. You know, I was done at that point. I was like, oh, yo, this is my life right here. It was so insane. Like, it was incredible.
Let me tell you this. If we do win game one, and it's a home game, whatever first round it is in New York, you're going to get you might get ticker tape parade. Yo, I'm telling you straight out.
Right.
It will be so bananas.
Yeah.
Post game and in the streets of New York, if we win game one of the first rounds of series against anybody.
Right.
It's going to be bananas. And I'm wondering, like, how do we kind of like not get too high? You know what I'm saying? It's going to be bananas. Yeah. If we win game one and a series and it's at home in the first round of the playoffs, that first game will be that first post area game on 7th Avenue between 34th and 35th Street. It's going. They're going to have to get, like, the police going to have to clear that whole area because going to be bananas.
No vehicular traffic.
And if we win a series.
Oh,
and then win the first game of the next playoff series.
Right.
I don't even know. They got to just bring NYPD just to secure. Like, yo, listen, we need clearance because other things happen in the city other than these damn Knicks. We got Ranger games tomorrow.
Right.
Not if they win. Ain't gonna be nothing else is happening.
Right.
I want a game one win in the finals. I want to see what that's like. I want to see the whole world shake.
It's crazy.
I just want to see what it do. I want to see what it do. What happens?
Here's another thing that pops up, right? I know I'm going past the time, but you asked for it, right? New York animosity is like, you know, I'm a world travel, country travel person.
Yeah.
And I just know, like, and the animosity and just like, almost like when you're looking at, I can't watch any sports on TV. I mean, sports talk on TV because now it's just like so much going on. It's like, yeah, I don't even want to watch it. Let's just go. I can go to Knick Fan TV and keep it there.
Because
the animosity, man, it's just like, it's going to be, and it's all good for in the name of the sports thing.
Absolutely.
But it's like, whoa, it's like, can the players handle that? A guy like Josh Hart is like, bring it on.
Brunson's
going to be like, let's go. You know?
Yeah.
Randall seems to have that extra skin right now. He's like, let's go. And then they just stay tight. And then RJ is going to be all right. Number one, you got to get through the New York stuff. And then the rest of the world's easy.
Just ask Ed Whitson, right?
That's George Foster.
Yeah, right. George Foster.
Right. George Foster was my man.
Just not for everybody.
We could name a lot of names that came in the New York on the Greyhound, left on a stray dog.
Right,
man. Okay, I've done my piece. I can't say no more because I don't want to get myself in trouble.
Oh,
usually, I say if I say. if I say something outside of my fandom,
right.
Then it's like, oh, I know. Man. I know. Like, I didn't talk about Trey Young or any of that.
Right.
And then his pops is following me. Yo, Chuck, man, I've been a fan. So whatever. So I don't put that stuff
don't
out.
Say nothing. It's best to leave his friends, right? Man, all right, y'all, listen to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and watch Fight the Power, How Hip Hop Changed the World, Amazon Prime. Well worth your time. Marcus, if they can't leave the 5-star review like we need, what they need to do?
Keep it to yourself.